Okay.
Okay, let's go ahead and call the meeting of the Legislative Committee for the Ethics Commission to order. I'm Linda McCallum, I'm the chair of this committee. So if we can go around and introduce ourselves, we'll just go this way.
I'm Eric Freiberger, Ethics Commission member.
Good afternoon, Cherry Pollock, Office of General Counsel.
Karen Dolan, Ethics Office.
Sandy Homerkaus, Ethics Office.
Andrea Myers, Ethics Office.
Kirby Oberdorfer, Ethics Director.
Darcy Downer, Ethics Commission. And we have Carla Miller on appearing by phone. All right, so let's go ahead and go down the agenda items, and I think the first thing we're going to do is ask
Kirby if she would just kind of give us a historical perspective of some of the issues that we have today and the legislative process.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to the first Legislative Committee meeting for the Ethics Commission. Due to the pandemic, the commission has not met as robustly as it generally does. And so, for instance, there was one Legislative Committee meeting last year to address some pending matters. So we're excited to have everybody back as hopefully the pandemic is waning, and we appreciate you joining us in person today. So historically, the Legislative Committee has been really important to the entire commission. They've done some incredible work on establishing creating the legislation to establish the independence of the Ethics Commission, as well as some IG provisions. And they've done that in a collaborative fashion. Other things that they have done are more of the housekeeping type issues, where they've embarked on revisions to the existing Chapter 602, which is our local ethics code, specifically the sections dealing with misuse of position and Section 602.401, and also representations before their own agency or board or commission, and that's in 602.402. Another major revision that was done to the code in conjunction with the Legislative Committee, but the office carried most of the weight on that, was the changes to the gift law, which is Part 7 of Chapter 602, and all of that primarily occurred in 2016 to 2018. Additionally, the commission's looked at the statute of limitation provision, which is 2 years. They looked at the state law that had a new amendment passed to the Constitution several years ago that created a disproportional benefit restriction in the Constitution, and the State Ethics Commission did some rulemaking on that to define that term. And Darcy, I think, actually took up that issue for the Legislative Committee and helped to report back to the commission on what the work was of the Ethics Commission, and the committee itself issued a recommendation in support of the State Ethics Commission and its rulemaking. They've also periodically looked at PACs and campaign-related things. And last year, they were focused on a particular bill that had been filed by Councilmember Dennis regarding the registration of political consultants, but he has subsequently withdrawn that bill, so it's not in the hopper right now. And also, something that came out of the complaints that related to the trip to Atlanta for a baseball game, and that was disclosure of travel that was being paid by either a lobbyist or a PAC, but the committee only did some preliminary work on that. So that has historically been the nature of the work of the committee. And I just thought it could be helpful to everyone to briefly describe the legislative process in the city, to provide the context for it. So typically, the legislative process is about 5 to 6 weeks. When a bill is ready to be filed, it gets filed through Legislative Services, which is a division of City Council, and it's placed on the agenda at a council meeting subsequent to the filing deadline. And so that's called basically first reading. And it is only printed on the agenda. There's no action or oral announcement or anything that takes place. It's merely just placed on the agenda. At the time that it's placed on the agenda and filed, it will be referred to committees of reference. If it involves ethics legislation, typically that's going to be the Rules Committee. If it has some type of financial overlay or component, it could also potentially be finance as well, or maybe even neighborhoods. But the rules is the primary committee that we typically encounter with ethics legislation. So after it gets filed and is printed on the city council agenda on week one, the following week committees will meet, and it's on the committee agenda of the committee of reference agenda, and that's first reading in that committee, and it's only printed on there. No action happens at that committee meeting. Then the following week after the committee, council will meet again, because they meet every other week, opposite of the committees. And at that second council meeting, the bill will be on the agenda as a second reading. And at that time, public hearing will occur on that bill. So that's the public's opportunity to provide comment or input into that bill. And sometimes people show up and speak, such as Mr. Nooney. He's good about showing up to council meetings and speaking in favor or against certain bills. And some bills, nobody comes and speaks to. It just depends on the nature of the interest that people have in the bill. Following that second reading at council, the bill will go to the committee for action. And it's on the committee agenda as a second reading. And at that point in time, the committee will take up the bill and take some form of action on it. They can approve it, they can amend it, they can deny it, they can defer it. And if it comes out of committee at that meeting, then it returns back to council for a third time on third reading, and that is when council will take up that bill, assuming that it's had a vote or a recommendation come out of committee. So that's the typical process if there's no hiccups or anything in that process. What our experience has shown us in the ethics office and enacting and proposing ethics legislation is it's best recommended practice to engage all of the stakeholders that are going to be affected by your legislation on the front end. You want their input, you want to educate them about the purpose of the bill and what's being designed to do, and you want to get feedback so that any questions or any issues or hiccups about the bill can be ironed out before it's filed, because there's not a lot of time once the legislative process gets going. And if a bill has some questions in it, it could be deferred, or it could be amended, and it could delay the process, essentially. So we try to engage stakeholders on the front end, which then takes up some time before you actually engage into the legislative process. But if you'd like some more detail about the legislative process, Peggy Sidman, who is the Deputy General Counsel here for the city and Deputy over Legislative Affairs and soon to be the Council Secretary, has a really engaging presentation on how a bill becomes a law and has more detail to it. So I'm sure she'd be happy to give that to the committee.
Is there any thoughts on that? Would anyone want to have a further, more detailed presentation on the process?
I would think it would depend on whether or not we're going to propose something.
All right, well then let's, anything further on that issue?
There's nothing further on that.
Could I make a comment?
Hold on, Carlo. Let's get a microphone over to you.
Go ahead, Carlos.
I just wanted to add one important point, that the Ethics Commission by code has the ability to sponsor legislation directly to city council. In other words, a lot of entities around the city have to get a city council person to agree to sponsor legislation. But the Ethics Commission can draft something up, and it gets submitted to the president of city council, who introduces it on behalf of the Ethics Commission. So that's really a nice thing that we have in our code, that we can propose things directly.
It is good. So, and that it's a good point that let's wait and see what we decide to do. And Mr. Nini?
Through the chair, just permission to address this issue of legislation, potential legislation as far as the legislative process with city council. That's what I was going to be talking about. Well, Carl, it gets back to 2017-160.
Mr. Nooney, if you'd respectfully hold your comments for public comment.
Let us go through, and then I'll be sure to let you be heard, so don't be concerned about that. And you can be heard going back on everything we've discussed so far. So I think talking about the next issue on the agenda would be, and I put this between us, Darcy, is old business. It's my understanding that the issue of, as Kirby has said, the issue of public officials taking trips that are paid for by PACs has been brought up. We've tried to address it. I don't think that we finalized anything, but that's something for us to consider. So we have to decide where it is we want to go. There are two issues that, from my understanding, were left outstanding from prior years. So if you have, that's the Atlanta trip that we're talking about. So if you have public officials going on trips or that are being paid for by PACs, the issue becomes, who's the PAC? Where are they going? When did it happen? There should be some accountability and some paper trail. Is that something that's one of the issues that do we want to look at? And we'll take a vote on that. And then the other issue would be there was a complaint, and you got the paperwork about that regarding, I think it was a police officer complaint. Right. Is that correct?
Yes, it was actually a complaint about law enforcement personnel appearing in campaign ads on behalf of an elected official.
And other officers felt that was inappropriate, so you can't have police officers or firemen or whoever posing with candidates and presenting as if the entire agency is in support and all of the officers are in support of that. And actually, I believe that the Legislative Commission committee did pass an ordinance, but we received that opinion from the general counsel that seemed to indicate that what we did was not good enough. So these are two issues that are outstanding that this committee should probably review and look at. And I don't know. And Carla, do you have anything you want to add to that?
No, I think you've nailed the two top issues that have been at the forefront of other discussions.
So in terms of deciding how we want to go forward, I don't know, Kirby, if we have to do this on a vote or if we have to make a priority about which would be first, which is second, what do we want to address and in what order? Is that something that needs to be discussed individually?
Yeah, you certainly are welcome to have a discussion about it, but to formalize it and help the committee take its formal direction, it would be best if you did it on a vote at some point.
Okay.
Through a motion and a second and then a vote.
Well, let's do that. I've thrown out the issues, and let's just have a discussion before we get to the actual vote about what people's thoughts are about those two outstanding issues that never were resolved previously and are still out there. We still have an issue of officers or firemen appearing in political ads, and we do have an ordinance that we could tweak and work with and an opinion that might help us get there. And we have the issue of the traveling and lack of transparency on who is paying for those.
So Madam Chair, is it the legislation that was put forth before? Because I don't remember anything once Jason issued the opinion. So did he issue the opinion, and were we in the midst of legislation on the police officers? Or
I believe we have not done anything since.
Okay. Okay, so that's why I didn't think we had drafted anything. Okay.
So let's go back and see if we can fix what we tried to accomplish but didn't accomplish using his opinion to do that.
All right, as a guide. Okay.
If I could speak to the issue of PACs or other individuals paying for travel, how is that not a gift?
That's a wonderful question, and it's not a gift because the definition of gift in the state and local code essentially says anything that is election-related expenses, including PACs, falls under a different chapter of regulation, the elections code, and therefore is not considered to be a gift.
What a loophole.
Yes, it is.
And there is reporting that's required. If PACs are paying for travel, they have to file, or any other expenditure, there are reports that they have to file for both their incoming expenses and their revenues and also their expenditures.
Right. I think the concern is not, however, with PACs reporting, but it's with the individuals who receive such gifts are the ones
reporting.
Who should be reporting.
Right.
So that's what I think we ought to find some mechanism to require.
You're absolutely right. There appears to be that it would be appropriate for transparency that there be a paper trail. Okay, so you went on this trip, and this PAC, what is the name of that PAC? How much did they give you for what trip? And there should be some documentation, some sort of layout. It's not that they can't do it, because we know they're permitted to do it, just some showing of how it went down, kind of. Mm-hmm.
And it's important we know the value of it, you know, and right. how that was received by the
person. So. Any other thoughts?
My only question is there a way that it might, you know, we might craft something or
construct some kind of legislation that would make it tantamount to a gift or
treat it as if it were a gift? Just a thought. I have no experience in this matter.
Carla, I'm going to defer to you because I think you all have discussed this before, so let me let you respond to that.
Yeah, the answer is no, because we would be interfering with state law. And state law says the PACs can make these expenditures, and so we can't reclassify them because state law has classified them. We can require more disclosure and transparency on the end of the elected officials here that we have authority over. So that and figuring out how to skin this cat for like the last 10 years, the only thing that seems to be the avenue is more transparency. Instead of trying to tinker with PACs, which have really unlimited ability to fund campaigns and put money wherever they want to under Citizens United, which is a U.S. Supreme Court case, the only avenue we've got is disclosure and transparency at the local level.
And this would be one of those prime examples where I think, Carla, you indicated that some of the stakeholders, the people that participate in government to that extent, I think you mentioned Sam Musa and a couple other names that we could reach out to and get some assistance in drafting something. Is that correct?
There are many people that have tried to think through this, and I think simple disclosure, we would probably be one of the first cities in Florida, maybe in the country, to try to require that. Most people are just trying to overturn Citizens United at the national level. But to say, okay, well, until we do, then we're just going to get the information directly from the officials that we govern. So I think there isn't like a lot of people out there that have cracked this nut and drafted something. If there was, we would just copy it and it'd be easy. So we're going to have to be clever in how we kind of think with this.
Okay, is there any other discussion on that one issue? We're talking about the PAC issue. Anyone else want to talk about that? Okay, looks like, how about we move on to the issue of the complaint that involved the officers posing with candidates? Anyone want to discuss that? I know you might not have had a chance to review what we drafted, it was before my time, but the Ethics Commission drafted previously and the opinion that came out. And so it seems like we do have at least a possible roadmap to where we can make that correction. Kirby, you have anything you want to add to that?
No, except that it could be. It's not a topic that the committee does take up, and I think it would be beneficial to really sit down and try to understand the opinion that was coming out of the general counsel's office. They were discussing various provisions, both in 602.401, which is the campaign restrictions, but also in Chapter 350, which is a kind of a sister chapter on elections law, but it's not under the authority of the commission, and try to rectify some of that. And there was some reference also to federal law. So there are lots of layers to it that would need to be unpacked.
Well, and I have to say, I didn't do a deep dive into it, but in the couple of times I read it over, it wasn't quite clear to me, so I'm going to have to really read it.
I agree.
More carefully. But, all right, so any other new business other than that we want to talk about? We've talked about the old issue, the travel and gifts and the campaign. Is there any other issues, any other topics or goals that anyone wants to bring to the committee? I think those two will be pretty hefty load for us. Is there anything else that anyone would like us to consider at this point before we open further comment?
Did you recall the topic that came out of the, I know we can't say anything about the shape, that the topic,
there wasn't one.
Okay, so there wasn't. All right. Thanks.
Okay, are there any other announcements that we should make before we start to call for some sort of votes? And I know we have to do public comment first. Any other announcements?
I have any.
So would this be the appropriate time for Mr. Nooney, because I'll be wanting to ask for a vote on those two issues. So is this the appropriate time for Mr. Nooney?
You can certainly do that now, or you can wait for a motion and have a second and then open the floor.
Okay.
Whatever, either way.
Let's first handle the PAC issue. Does someone have a motion that we proceed with that?
I move that we proceed with trying to find the appropriate language for legislation.
Second. All right, and discussion? Mr. Nooney?
Hi. My name is John Nooney, 8356 Bascom Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32216. And thank you for allowing public participation, 2017-160, before a vote is taken on a pending piece of legislative action. As to the PAC, you know, that's, I'm just thinking, isn't that part of this JEA scandal thing? I mean, wouldn't you want to invite, you know, the council members that are overseeing, you know, the committee, or at least make them aware of it? You know, it's, again, you know, it's, I just wanted to throw that out there. You know, it's been sitting this long. It's not like it can't be deferred. And you can bring back for any other suggestions, you know, as to maybe how to make it better. So anyway, I just want to leave with that thought. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
All right, so do we call it for a vote whether this committee wants to proceed on, and this is just a decision to go forward, and how we get there is a different thing, mm-hmm. but to go forward and address this issue. Let's call the vote. Call the question. Mm-hmm. However way you say it.
That's right.
All in favor.
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. All right, then. So we are going to move forward on that, and we'll have to talk about how we want to do that and how we want to proceed. And obviously, it seems like we might have to break it up into components because it would be difficult for all of us to deal with all of it. So we'll talk about that later on. But so let's talk about the second issue. We dealt with the PAC first. This is the issue of creating a better ordinance that would address city employees, police officers, firemen, what have you, posing with candidates and using their police cars or their fire trucks or their uniforms to assist a candidate in their campaign. I have a motion for us to address that.
I would move for the committee to address that. I don't know exactly what the motion needs to be, but I, you know, think we need to take a look at the general counsel's opinion and go from there, see if there's anything we can do.
Second.
All right, any discussion by anyone on those on that second issue? Mr. Nooney, did you want to be heard? You'll pass on that one. All right, let's call it for vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Are you voting? You get to vote, too.
I'm in favor. Yes,
okay. Aye. I'm not hearing
you. I'm voting
you.
Aye for everything.
Okay, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, this is a whole new ball game here. It's not like running court and going.
I know. Hey, you get to speak now.
I get to speak. I don't have to be quiet. Thank you. Okay, so, and I'm, do we have any other public comment, Mr. Nooney?
Yes.
Mr. Nooney, if I may, just typically for,
well,
for the chair's information, public comment is typically limited to 3 minutes. And so I'm just going to start a timer. That's all.
All right, Mr. Nooney, you got 3 minutes.
All right. Well, okay. Well, let me just say, you know, let me take a line from Brian Kilmeade. I don't know if you saw this on the national news, but, you know, Jacksonville is a mess. And I couldn't agree with him more. And the reason is, you know, the public trust is gone, just destroyed. Ethics has been pretty much wiped away. Our charter's been gutted. And what I want to share with you, you know, and again, 2017, 160, public participation. And, you know, Kirby and Carl, you can jump in on this at any time. But, you know, and again, here I am, just down to the wire with the minutes. But this is, you know, the city council, March 22nd. And you can watch my comments at the 2-minute 17 mark. I got crushed. And, you know, you go to agenda item 99. In other words, public participation is not referenced once in the March 22nd city council. Last night's meeting, you know, and let me just say, too, you know, in that, you know, here's Peggy Sidman, you know, and it's on page 40. And, you know, and again, this is when, the buzzer goes off. But, you know, I hope this will be evidence. You know, even take it all the way up to the Attorney General of the United States of America, man. But on, but anyway, agenda item 99 from the March meeting was our new IG, the Inspector General, and it wasn't noticed properly. So, in other words, that's deception. And then you go, last night we had disclosure. So public participation was recognized like 10 times. At last night's meeting, I called them out at the March meeting. And again, this was our Inspector General, you know, the top of the food chain, if you will. And watch, I get scolded. Like I said, Brian Kilmeade got it. Jacksonville's a mess. And like I said, I really want to be one of the biggest cheerleaders. My biggest thing is, you know, waterways. You know, but again, I'm just diverting. But right here, this is evidence, I believe. And go up. I just went up to Legislative Services. Just ask up there and get the agenda from the March 22nd. And here we are. And this is April 12th. So this is last night. And our IG, and again, here it is. I mean, and if you want, I'll hand it to you. But our IG is not noticed. And I'm at the 2-hour, 17-minute mark. Thank you. The consent agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Nooney. I appreciate it. And it is noted and recorded.
Well, and you're legislative, so.
Mr. Nooney, your 3 minutes are up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nooney.
Okay. Well, so, thank you for listening.
Carla, do you have anything else you want to add? The only other suggestion I had, and I will defer to those on how this proceeds, but it would make sense to me that we kind of divide and conquer and ask for someone who might be willing to take the lead in at least coming up with the first draft on the PAC. Is that appropriate? Can we do that?
Certainly, you can do that, and one person can take it and bring it back to the committee. If they're going to pair up with other committee members, that's fine. They'll just have to notice those meetings.
So here was my – I know that you have got another committee that you're working hard on. I was hoping that you might be willing to take the
pack. Who are you looking at exactly?
Nice way, hoping. I was hoping. In other words, you're going to do it.
And I will take the other one.
Like a voluntold.
I was hoping that I could convince you to take on just a first draft of the PAC issue.
Provided you have an understanding that I have no idea whatsoever of what I'm doing.
Well,
I'm willing to try, yes.
That would be wonderful. And I will take the lead on getting something ready for our next meeting with regard to the police officer campaign issue. And certainly, I think Kirby is available to have those discussions. Thank you.
that kind of give you the lay of the land. And we're not talking about you drafting legislation. We're just talking about some ideas. Any thoughts on what kind of groundwork you would suggest that he would do to go forward?
Actually, I was going to offer to help in any way that I can. There is some background information we certainly can provide about the current disclosure requirements in state law and some of the concerns that the commission members had when they discussed the trip to Atlanta and some of the things that they thought might be relevant for a particular disclosure. I can share all that, and we can kind of figure out a best way forward. And one of the things that's been helpful in the past on some ethics legislation is to look to see if there are any other cities or states that might already be doing it, so you're not reinventing the wheel. But we're certainly happy to help Dr. Freiberger in that endeavor.
What is our timeline on this? What are we looking at? When is our next meeting likely to be?
We haven't decided yet, so let's talk about a reasonable timeline. I know it's going to take me a little bit of time working with them again to go through what we have and try to.
My concern is I have absolutely no time for the next 3 weeks because we're at the end of the semester.
No. We're not talking about 3 weeks. I think reasonable time would be 2 months.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
would that be reasonable? Mm-hmm. And I believe that Kirby and her staff can really give you the lay of the land. And in terms of actually writing and the language of it, that's something, you know, we can do. But that's not something you need to do. It's more of the substance of what you think should be in there for the first effort.
Fair enough. I'll give it a shot.
Okay. And I will be doing my first effort working with Kirby and staff to come up with, am I allowed to ask for her help?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yes, please do.
I do want your
definitely.
Help since you can maybe help me work through that maze.
Absolutely, yeah.
But if I call her, is that going to be publicly noticed or is
no.
that staff?
No, because she's not on the Ethics Commission.
Perfect.
Yep.
Yeah, you can call the OGC attorney representative, so without having to notice a meeting or anything.
All right, so let's talk about a date. I would like us to come back in 2 months to be able to at least see where we're at and make a plan on going forward. Is that workable? So let's say 2 months would take us into where?
It looks like sometime in June.
How about that last week of June, the week of June 27th?
It has to be Monday or Tuesday. We have a FACA conference Wednesday through Friday. All of the attorneys will be there in Orlando.
And we may have City Council annual training, 3-hour training, that Monday or Tuesday.
Okay, how about the week of June 6th?
I could do early in the week. I am scheduled to be out of town the 8th through the 11th. Or Carla could fill in, potentially.
It would work for me the 7th.
Say the 7th would work. Another option would be the 13th or 14th.
I expect that I will still be in trial the week of the 6th. Doesn't mean I can't come to a meeting, but I just don't know.
Right.
The judge will recess for the day.
Well, how about the 13th, 14th?
I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to attend then because they're having a memorial service for my mother-in-law. I think it may be that weekend. I've got to confirm.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we just send out some dates? We're looking at the end of June, maybe early July, the first 2 weeks, and then see what works for everyone. So all these dates I've kind of thrown out, we can maybe put in an email. Would that work?
I have a question. I may be on vacation out of the country at that time. Would it be possible for me to participate in this committee? No, I don't really want to be doing it when I'm out of the country. However, I don't want to have to come back to the country to participate in the meeting.
You're
That's my point.
So we'll just try to miss the time that you're out.
Well, I plan on, because I have the luxury of an academic schedule, I plan on being out of the country for at least 6 weeks, if not 2 months. So that's my concern.
I think that's a legitimate reason to appear telephonically or by Zoom or however way you all need him to appear.
That would not be an issue.
Your committee would vote on whether or not that would be considered to be an extraordinary circumstance, but your chair has indicated that she believes that might be, so that seems to be something positive.
Is that an extraordinary circumstance? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Only if you take me with you.
Exactly.
Just make sure that the quorum has to be physically, so both of you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Both of you guys have to be here.
No, actually, that wouldn't work. Your quorum is, you have four members, so you're.
Oh, it's four.
So your quorum is three.
Oh, so you need three.
And we don't expect the other member.
Maybe.
Who is the other member?
A Carlton.
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe we might be able to work a Carlton schedule and get a quorum.
Just make this work in June sometime before you go off on your wonderful.
When do you leave, Dr. Freiberger?
The problem is we've got to be back here for. My mother-in-law's memorial service, so
okay.
I have to figure out exactly when that is, and I can do that. I'll try to do that right now to the extent that I can.
Yeah, let's just send out the emails.
We can do that.
And I'll give you a bunch of dates, okay. And then we'll send it to everyone, so you don't have to make that decision.
Wonderful.
At this time. Anything else anyone would like to bring up at this time? Any other issues? Carla?
No, we're good. And I just wanted to mention that there are some good materials. So it's not like you have to start from scratch on these two issues. You can hit the ground running with some stuff that we've already developed.
Perfect. And Kirby has all that.
Yes.
Perfect.
Or Carla.
Or Carla. Or Carla. All right. Then if there's nothing further, we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Thank you, everyone, for attending. Thank you, Mr. Nooney.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
Hi, Carla.